Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, mate. It's a Sunday. We're recording this a little bit early, and we're having a nice time, aren't we, Chris?
We are, although I've run out of coffee.
Oh, no!
It's not a good start.
You got a little Pret a Manger coffee?
I've got a nice little coffee. I'm here with you in the UK, though.
Yep. Jeez.
Nearly punched you in the face there.
Steady.
That's how exciting it is when you get to record with Pete while you're in London.
Do you miss... I would call you a ferocious coffee consumer, but I would not necessarily call you a ferocious coffee connoisseur in
how
that you drink a lot of canned coffee.
Whoa.
A lot of sugar in
steady
it.
Steady on there.
Like,
do.
So you don't drink... Because, obviously, Japan, it's a big coffee destination. I was chatting to Ezra Koenig from the band Vampire Weekend, who basically said his perfect thing to do would be to take Bernie Sanders, who's a big supporter of in the Democratic primaries, take him to Japan, to Shibuya, and have a coffee with him, because obviously the best coffee can be found in Japan, because they are connoisseurs of, like, you know what?
He wants to take Bernie Sanders to Japan and give him a coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people have
got all the dreams.
What's your dream, Pete?
It probably would involve Bernie Sanders
to be on the Abroad Japan channel.
Yes,
you've already done.
I've there's a reason why people stop me in the street now and say, what's he really like? You know he's got darkness behind his eyes. I want to know what he's really like. What is Chris Broad like? And I say, guys, he's just as bad as you imagine.
How do you feel when you get stopped in the street in general? Does it happen much?
It does, because I do a football podcast, and that's quite popular, and I'm a bit more visible, let's say. So I get stopped about that quite a lot. But then it makes me sort of think, God, imagine being... like proper famous.
Proper famous.
It would actually be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because you're always on. You always have to be like, you're always like, you may be like really late for something, but you've always got to say hello, shake the hand, have a little chat, and then go your separate ways. But like, if you were famous and that happened every 5 minutes, you couldn't get anything done.
Well, I had a lovely fan the other day. I was walking around King's Cross in London, trying to find platform 9 3/4. Doesn't exist, unfortunately. Although there is a cool little trolley in the wall for Harry Potter fans, where you could pretend to be Harry Potter.
Next to the Harry Potter shop, buy some squiggles, what they're called.
Squiggles.
I don't know. Is it Harry Potter squiggles? I don't know. Muggles.
Harry Potter squiggles.
Muggles. I've never watched a Harry Potter.
You need to sort your priorities out. Anyway, I was there, King's Cross, and a guy just jumped in front of me and went, hi Chris, don't want to disturb you or anything, just want to say hi, like the videos, have a great day, and then he walked off. It was really nice.
It was really intense.
He did it so fast, I don't think I even had time to respond.
Did he run straight into the wall?
He ran straight through the wall and off to Hogwarts. But it was lovely, you know, that's the perfect encounter. I don't mind taking photos of people. I do, 9 times out of 10, if I run into someone, I will have to take a photo. And I don't mind it, but it's nice when people just want to say a quick hello. And
you're never going to be tired of somebody saying that you like your stuff. I think Dave Grohl sort of said, you never get tired of someone coming on and going, I love your stuff, Dave, or whatever. And he must obviously
I think
be
you
one
would
of the
if
most
you were
in the world.
Mega famous, though. Obviously, I'm not mega famous, thankfully. Mm. And actually, I don't really... I never did YouTube to be famous or get, you know, get famous in general. I never really wanted that.
Cold hard cash, people. Cold is exactly how you think he is.
My favourite bit has always been just writing, scripting, filming, editing, the production of a video. I early on, I think about a year or two into doing YouTube, I thought about hiring a presenter or getting someone to present it.
Right.
But it's too much money, and there's no way I would have made a profit or succeeded in general. So I had to become the face.
They would have made demands.
Raw Japan.
I think with when I edited that little video of the clickbait farts.
Are you plugging your
I'm not
YouTube
plugging
video.
My YouTube video. I'm just saying that when
those
I edited that,
seen,
I got a little dopamine hit when I released it, and I got some nice comments because you tweeted about it. and I was like, wow, this is why you do it. Because it's nice. Because you create something and you give birth to something, and then people are nice about it, and then you just, you know, you just go about your business.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that. It's nice, you know, you spend, as I do, I spend often days, weeks producing a video, release it, and then a few thousand people watch it. It's quite a cool feeling.
Yeah, huge.
And you've had that. How many people have watched your video now?
I don't know. 15?
You know.
100?
17,000.
Oh, that's too many, isn't it? that's
for those
too
of you who haven't seen Pete's video, what's it called? 60 Things to Do in Japan?
Yeah.
I didn't actually count. Were there 60 things in the video?
Yeah, there was.
Was there?
I mean, a lot of them was just me shouting, have a coolish.
Yeah, pretty much. Clutching at straws.
Yeah,
that was a great little video. If you haven't seen it, type in travel clickbait.
I wasn't trying to plug it again.
I was just
mentioning
up.
That I got that little dopamine hit that you get when you release it.
You were trying to plug it, Pete. Let's not
video.
Be around the bush. Today, though, ladies and gentlemen, we have got a Q&A special, a Q&A spectacular. We have the fax machine's been building up over the last few weeks. Mm. We haven't been addressing as many questions as we should.
We need to release that valve.
Travelling around. Pete's been in Japan, now I'm in the UK. But yeah, we're going to dedicate this episode to answering your questions. And the first item that we have isn't so much a question. It's just another funny English sign. It's
nice.
Funny Japanese English. It's a picture from the monkey park, which I think you and I went to, Pete, in Kyoto, right?
Yep.
It's a picture of a monkey with a warning sign. And it says, a wild monkey appeared. A wild monkey bites brutality. Don't feed him and don't fight him.
Even if you fight, you can't win.
Even if you fight... You can't win.
I want to see
that. I love that.
I want to see the people who are fighting monkeys.
I feel like that's a call to arms, right? Just that line, don't feed him, don't fight him. Even if you fight, you can't win. I feel
like
that's a challenge right there, isn't it?
That's M. Bison in
Chinese
village,
isn't it? I want to feed him and I want to fight him now.
And then fuck him.
Oh,
feed, fight and fuck.
Oh,
the Chris Broad experience.
Once again, the podcast has lost its...
Shut up, I edit this
youthful,
thing.
It's youthful demographic.
Who cares? Who cares? We're all grown-ups, really.
But that's from the Good Shepherd, and thanks for sending that in. If you do find any interesting English, Japanese English signs, send them our way. We love reading them out.
And if you do see Chris in the street, don't fight him. Don't feed him. He doesn't need either of those things.
Don't fight me.
He doesn't need either of those things in his
life.
Even
if you fight me, you can't win.
You can't win.
You can't win. Definitely will.
A lot of time for that sign. Beautiful.
First question is from Carl from Texas, who says, Hi, Carl. Chris and Pete. I'm working on a book with a bunch of silly superheroes with silly powers. Are there any well-known Japanese superheroes exclusively to Japan, silly or otherwise?
Ooh.
Carl from Texas. The only superhero that I can recall that is truly ridiculous, I went to a Buddhist temple once in Sendai, and as a reward for me turning up to the temple, the priest that runs the place gave me a DVD of a Japanese superhero, and it was a DVD with a guy dressed up as a tree.
Right.
And it said the title of the superhero and the title of the DVD was Planting Tree Man.
He plants trees.
He plants trees.
What?
And his skills include planting trees and fighting off people that don't like trees. And that was literally the name of the superhero, Planting Tree Man.
Wow.
I never watched the DVD. I don't know where it went. I think I gave it away.
I bought a merchant who trains quite a lot, and I bought a DVD while I was over there of the Shinkansen.
Riding train
just
man.
Loads of just riding train
riding
man.
Riding train man.
Commuter man. Whenever I've gone over, I've always found in the Mandrick, kind of the vinyl toy shop, there was a... there's always like this little superhero. They sell a lot of vinyl toys, and one of the superheroes is just a faceless, kind of chubby looking superhero. It looks a bit kitschy, a little bit 70s. It's skin coloured, but it's just got the word no written on its chest.
No.
It just says no. That's
N-O.
It. That's it. N-O.
Right.
N-O. That's all it says. And there's various different permutations and
sounds
and
like he lacks the charisma of planting tree man.
No, exactly. I know.
But plant trees.
Yeah. Hard off and book off. That's a new one for me. I've not really spent much time in those places. My God, the theme music to Hard Off, secondhand shop, is amazing.
How's it go?
It's exactly, yeah. And then there's a more jazzy version where it goes book off. He just sort of says book off at the end. It's brilliant. And there's a hard off. And there's different kinds of offs, isn't there? There's different kinds. There's like
there's hard off, there's
house
off,
house off, or something.
Off, yeah,
all that nonsense.
If you want to see this place, I think we featured it in a video. I did a video on Journey Across Japan with Joey the Anime Man.
Mm.
We did a video called Pimp My Bike, and in that episode we were challenged by viewers to pimp out our bicycles with weird paraphernalia, and I got some N64 controllers and just tied them around the handlebars.
It was still on there when I did my little bit of abroad in Japan.
It was, yeah, we kept it on there for you. But yeah, in that video we went to Hard Off to get loads of cheap crap and strap it to the bikes. And I hummed the theme tune because I love it so much. So if you want to hear just go watch that video.
It is moronic in the most beautiful kind of way. And those shops, they just have, if you love tech and you love just looking at all bits of tech that never went anywhere, all train controllers for the PS1, all like fishing controls for the Dreamcast, all this stuff that never went anywhere. Go to Hard Off or Book Off and you will find some steals in there.
Oh,
you can buy batteries for phones that haven't existed for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful.
I thought, whenever I go in there and I see like laptops from the 1980s and things, I feel like buying it and just using it as a prop in a film, like making some sort of 1980s short film.
I have
just
got
filled with loads of cheap 80s crap and stuff. And
I've got a working, I paid like a good 200 quid for a pretty, not decent spec, but like they'd taken an iMac, you know those clamshell ones?
Yeah.
The iMac clamshells. iBook, rather. And they'd sort of like spit shined it, put a Wi-Fi card in there, upgrade it to as high as the operating system would go, put a bit more RAM in there. It's still unusable because YouTube, you can't even watch anything on YouTube. It's just dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful. But that's why I have three iBooks under my sofa at home.
Your apartment must be just filled with loads of
nonsense.
Retro crap. That
absolute shite. Well, I, again, the thing that I collect, apart from J-League tops and stuff like that, I also collect automatomes, is it called? You know, automatomes. Automatons? Automatone. Automatome, I think they're called. It must be May at the end. But either way, it's basically like there's things that look like a musical note / sperm, and you play a little tune on them, and they've got a little mouth thing on.
I've never heard of
this. You would have seen that. You never heard them before?
No.
Yeah. I'm gonna find a picture. Automatome. Yeah, those things.
Right. I'm seeing a photo, and
it looks like a sperm crossed with a like a crotchet or a minim,
right?
In the musical notation,
you have some weird taste, Pete.
Well, I now own about 8 of them. Now I bought 2 more when I was over on the halls. That's my collection. Automatomy.
Most people have simple hobbies. I play video games. I like trains. And then there's you collecting
toys that
look like sperm.
Look at that. They have different designs. That's like a kabuki mask sort of job. That's a ninja. They've got ones like they've got a tie-in with Kiss, the band Kiss. I've got one with who's the bear who does the trains.
Planting Tree Man.
The bear. Who's the bear?
I don't know.
In Miyazaki. Not Miyazaki. Down in Kyushu. That famous bear.
Oh, Kumamon.
Kumamon. I've got a Kumamon designed one.
Really?
Yeah. So I've got loads of them.
Mental.
And if you use them for any length of time, they break almost instantly.
When
they
I listen to you and your bizarre hobbies, I often feel like I'm a very boring person. Like, my hobbies, like, I like books and I like films and I like sushi, but you're like, I like collecting toys that look like sperm. You raise the bar, Pete.
But you can only find them in there. You can only sort of find them in Japan, which is annoying.
Moving on. Hi, Chris and Pete. This is going to sound really creepy, but stay with me on this. Chris, you appeared in my dream last week.
Oh, dear.
I get a lot of people that say I was in their dream. It always ends weirdly. I have no idea what happened in the dream. Phew. Just a recollection, you were there. But I woke up with an epiphany that I needed to check out your YouTube channel. Like subliminal commercials in your dreams. Like some other listeners, I've heard mentioned I've only ever listened to your podcast. What? You never watched the channel?
You never listened to the videos? You just watched it, listened to the podcast? That's interesting.
There's quite a few listeners who never watched the channel. To check out the channel, it's quite good sometimes. So I've started watching your videos from the start, and it's been life-changing. I have a newfound enthusiasm to learn Japanese, get healthy, and track down Cat Shit 1.
Steady. Right, now, what is Cat Shit 1?
Cat Shit 1 is a weird anime show that I couldn't believe when I stumbled across it. It literally is just spelt Cat Shit 1. It's not like it's not like a Japanese word. It's just Cat Shit 1.
Nice.
And it's about a cat and a bunny rabbit that travel around Afghanistan shooting things. It's mental.
Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Why
weird.
Afghanistan?
Go look it up. I can't even try and explain it. It's mental.
That is baffling.
In one of your videos, you mentioned you had visited and enjoyed some theme parks of Japan. I wondered if you've ever been to Fuji Q Highland, and if so, what you thought of the rides. Did you go in the Haunted House or the super scary Labyrinth of Fear? That's from Kylie. Much love. Yeah, I've been to Fuji Q Highland. I went there in a video last year, didn't I? I went to try and find Mount Fuji, because Fuji Q Highland is one of the best views of Mount Fuji. It's right at the base of it. Went there for a week, didn't see Mount Fuji once.
Oh, no.
Stupid mountain. Whoever invented
it's quite
it,
elusive,
I'm really angry.
Isn't it? It's quite
Why
elusive.
Would you build an amazing mountain and then not let me look at it? Really annoys me. I climbed up it, right, without even seeing it.
Right.
Because I was on it, I couldn't appreciate it. Oh. Mount Fuji's a lot more fun to look at from a distance than climb up, I can assure you, as we've discussed in the past. But Fuji Q Highland, best theme park in Japan, hands down. Absolutely love it. Have you been, Pete Donaldson?
No.
Definitely go. And go and watch the video. I think it's called Mount Fuji Ruined My Day. And in that video, I took my good friend Sharla, who is afraid of roller coasters, up the biggest roller coaster in the park, and she nearly exploded. And
oh,
I filmed
no.
it with a GoPro. It's brilliant. I loved it. Definitely check it out. It's way better than Disneyland. The
I've got a lot of time for that.
Impressive. Are you into theme parks?
Yeah, I love it. I love a roller coaster.
Have you not been
Absolutely.
To Fuji Q?
Because, again, you just have limited time when you're just on a holiday. All I need to do is just take 2 months out of my normal life.
No, you just do need, when you go to Japan, you just don't need to get drunk every day. Go and look at a theme park.
Chris, I am allowed to do what I want on my holidays.
Go to Fuji Q.
My mate, I told you, my mate went to Universal Studios or one of those places, probably, maybe Disneyland, and he... And he was in, like, a couple, but his girlfriend and him had split up, so he just got pissed and walked around. It would have been rather depressing, he said, but he had quite a good time because he was a bit pissed. Because, obviously, like, you can just buy beer everywhere in Japan.
Yeah, and you can
and
drink
publicly,
any time.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy.
Bonus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, we've got a message from MG from SC, apparently. Hello, Pete and Chris. I am Mark from South Carolina.
Solve that riddle pretty quickly.
Yeah, sorry. Mark from South Carolina, and greatly enjoy listening to your podcast every week during my mundane retail job while attending university. Apologies if this has already been asked, but would you recommend northern or southern Japan to live in / visit / explore? Thanks again and keep up the fantastic work. I mean, that's very, very vague, isn't it? North and south. What is
they
what
are quite
is
different,
south?
Aren't they? South, we're talking like Kyushu, Shikoku, Hiroshima, Matsuyama, Kagoshima. People down south, typically more confident and friendly and fun. People in Tohoku are a little bit more shy, but, you know, very nice once you get talking. I've lived in the north, so I'm going to be a little bit biased. And for me, north is my homeland in Japan. It's my hometown, the north, Yamagata Prefecture. I've always found the north has a bit more of a mysterious and alluring atmosphere. You know, you get in the car, you drive around, you get lost, and mystery and wonder happens. And there's a lot more of that up north, I find. Down south, there's more insects. That's why I don't like the south.
Like insects?
I don't like spiders. I don't like bees and
very
snakes.
Important.
Death, despair, it's all down south.
They're very important to the ecosystem.
I think if you go down south Japan for 2 weeks, you're more likely to have a fun and action-packed 2 weeks than the north where I live. But I think the north would be better to live in, even though it does get pretty cold in winter. But it's nice in summer. You've been to both, though. What are your thoughts?
I enjoyed the north. I thought
you've just been to the south in your recent 2 week holiday, right?
And I've briefly visited Sapporo for a couple of days. It was fun. I found the people there a little bit more reluctant to sort of talk. I guess I don't
Where?
Know in Sapporo. Weirdly,
oh right.
I mean, I guess it's a city and stuff.
Well, I think it's because it's cold. People like to just get indoors and quickly shut the door.
It's just amazing how different climates are, microclimates in Japan. You can just be absolutely freezing with long johns on underneath your clothes, and then a couple of miles down the road in Tokyo and it's bloody warm again. It's crazy.
A couple of miles down the road
Yeah, shall we go on the next message?
Or shall That's we very take, formal
or shall we take a break and we'll be back with
Choose
more messages.
Choose your own adventure. Let's have a break.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
I'll kill Bill.
I'll kill Bill? Wow.
Natsuki there, threatening to kill Bill.
I think that's my favourite Natsuki soundbite so far. I love that you've got that. That's the video where Natsuki and I spent a day in Tokyo. It's called Day of My Life, trip to Tokyo or something, about a year ago.
I've got all the hits on here. What have we got here?
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Not had that in a while, have we? No.
I'll kill Bill.
Got that one.
Sweet chocolate.
The sweet chocolate.
I'll kill customer.
Oh, good old Natsuki. I miss Natsuki. Do you miss Natsuki?
He's not been seen for a while. You did a little bit of work in Tokyo when he popped there, didn't you?
I mean, I spent the last half year doing Journey Across Japan, editing all the damn videos, right? And it's been tough because the videos...
Taught you some lessons?
I learned a lot from it, and I learned that if you're going to make a video, try and plan it out a bit in advance, because I've got like 4 hours of footage to go through for each video. It's done now, though, so I'm really happy. And I did film a video, the first video in a while that Natsuki's in, and it's a major documentary. I don't know if I can talk about it yet. For privacy reasons, probably can. I just filmed a documentary about Japan's biggest rock star.
I found that whole thing very fascinating. A man who, if they walked down the street in London, like, you wouldn't bat an eyelid.
Knows him.
But he is the most famous man. It was like when I interviewed the guitarist Miyavi.
He's really big at the moment.
And he just, you know, he couldn't walk down the street in Tokyo at all, or anywhere really. But here, Like, I just, it was just a dodgy email. Well, came in. Do you want to interview Miyavi? Well, he's quite big in Japan. I was like, yeah, get him in. Let's have a chat.
Yeah, I mean, Miyavi's huge in Japan. The rock star in question that I work with is Hyde from Larkin Seal, which is, Larkin Seal is one of Japan's biggest bands ever.
Yeah.
They've sold like 40 million records.
Mm.
And Hyde is effectively like a god in Japan. Great guy. I love spending the week with him, filming him, hearing his story, and, you know. But the highlight for me was introducing him to Natsuki. We got Natsuki down from Yamagata. Natsuki, throughout the week, Natsuki was like, well, I'm going to meet him. I want to meet him. I want to meet him. I was like, no, it was a serious project. Eventually, Natsuki came down and I introduced him to Hyde, and it's going to be great. I can't wait to show that on YouTube. It's going to be an amazing documentary. I'll talk about it more in a few weeks. When I've...
He's very open with his affection, let's say, Natsuki.
Yes, and there's lots of swearing. But I got the infamous teaching swear words book.
Oh, yeah.
I took that to Hyde as a present.
Nice.
And so a little bit of the video is me teaching him some swear words. And
tainting his, tainting his reputation forever.
Yeah.
Well done. You've ruined Hyde.
It's a nice callback to the earlier Broad Japan videos. But I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited to get Natsuki back on the scene.
Yeah.
Back in the videos where he deserves to be.
Stop smoking, Natsuki. We've got an email from David. Hello, David. I'm a big fan of both your respective works. Oh, hello. I was actually a fan of you both separately before you came together. We're like Avengers Assemble on this podcast, aren't we?
But slightly more tacky.
Yeah.
Slightly tackier Avengers.
We're obsessed with automatons. where we are. Yeah, so each of the podcasts are always a special treat. It feels like two people who you knew separately coming together and being good friends.
Good friends.
Lovely. Anyway, I have a question for Chris. Annoyed by that. Unbelievable. Forgetting about me. Recently, I was on my way to meet a friend to go and see a movie while listening to one of your podcasts. This made me remember that Chris mentioned several times that you've seen films whilst in Japan, which made me wonder if films were released in English in Japan and subtitled. This also made me wonder about how the movie-going experience may differ in Japan also. So my question to you, Chris, is how are movies released in Japan? Are they subtitled? And also, what are cinemas like in Japan? Do Japanese people eat popcorn at the cinema? What is Japanese cinema etiquette like? Thanks for creating the podcast. It's always really enlightening. Well, I don't guarantee any of that, David, but thank you for listening.
You know what? When I lived in the UK, I never really enjoyed going to the cinema much. I remember I nearly got in many fights because, you know, people are just dicks in the UK in cinemas. They're really loud. They're on their phones.
They turn into maniacs.
Nearly every time I'm in the cinema in the UK, something frustrating happens. Like one time I was there and someone was just on the phone. Another time there was kids throwing popcorn from behind and it was like showering all over me.
Yeah.
And I nearly punched someone in the face. That was years ago.
A guy called Gavin, I think, has picked up someone's phone that they've been using and just thrown it.
Quite rightly so. You know, it's like people just don't care. In Japan, people are incredibly well-behaved. I go to the cinema every week or two. I try, because it's just so pleasant. The cinemas are state-of-the-art, top of the range. They've got Dolby Atmos, which is just sounds like being in the centre of the action. You know?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What's the big cinema brand? Toyo or Tohoku? Was it? Oh, I can't remember now. Either way, but it's they're always very, very busy looking.
Toho Cinemas. They're the guys that run the show, and Aeon Cinemas. And yeah, they're amazing. The seats are great. Almost perfect in every way, except movies come out ridiculously late.
Right.
And it kind of ruins the whole thing. You know, my friends will watch a movie like... give me an example.
Oh, we spoke about Isle of Dogs.
Isle of Dogs. Remember a year ago, for those of you who listened to the last year, you remember a year ago, Wes Anderson brought out Isle of Dogs, amazing film. Came out like March. I think it came out in September or something ridiculous in Japan. I had to wait an extra 6 months for the film because... I don't know why. Maybe because they were subtitling it, I don't know. But there's a huge delay in film releases often, and that can be extremely frustrating. My friends watching the movies back here. In the UK, for some reason, we get them early. We get them really early, often before even the US. So it's going from the country where you get the movies the earliest to the country where they get them the latest. So that's a little bit shit. And that's the only downside. But other than that, it is amazing. And also, there's 4D cinemas.
What's that, like kind of smells and breezes?
Yeah, the seats move. I remember watched Star Wars Rogue One in a 4D cinema. I felt like I was in a TIE fighter. Glorious.
I'd get my hand
the
caught in
the whole seat was moving around, and they've got these weird things that stick out the bottom of the seat that grab your leg.
Why do they grab your leg?
Well, it feels like they grab your leg. It's like they've got this, like, fabric.
Like a massage chair.
It's like chopped up fabric, right. And they blow a bit of air, and it comes out and like strokes your leg. It's really quite creepy and unpleasant. But
that sounds horrible. I don't appear to be molested, thank you very much. But I would.
Wait, could be used very badly in a film with a director like David Lynch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4D cinemas, they're great.
Well, speaking of the movie-going experience rather foul films, do you remember we went visited a place that before the business that is in there now was used for filming pornography?
Oh, yeah. Definitely talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we visited a building that used to be used for pornography. And there you go. And it was very interesting to see what they'd done with the place. A lot less sex going on. That's all I'm saying. Right, let's get into the next message. Thank you very much to David for that one.
Alison.
Alison, go on,
Hi,
Chris.
Hi, Lord Pete.
That's what I'm
Lord
here
Pete.
For. That's what I'm here for, mate.
Why is it Lord Pete and not Lord Chris?
Because it doesn't work. Lord
right.
Chris.
Anyway, I'm Alison from Michigan.
You wouldn't see that in bloody Game of Thrones.
I'm
Lord
Alison
Chris.
From Michigan, USA. I've been watching Abroad in Japan videos for years and listened to the podcast while I'm at work. I heard a few years ago that maid cafes were a really popular thing in Japan. Does that still hold true? Mm. Have you ever been to a maid cafe before? Would you ever go to one? Keep up the good work, Alison. No, I wouldn't.
No, sounds terrible. And also, like, you see those foul ones. Because I went to, Akihabara is, like, obviously very popular with Europeans.
Akihabara district is the home of maid cafes.
Mm. If you go to the one in, Denden Town in Osaka, it's just a couple of streets of, like, just, you know, people selling electronics and video games and retro goods. But there's a lot of maid cafes there. If you like Akihabara, but you want a slightly more sedate experience where you're just not just chased down the street by women dressed as maids or pandas and shit, go to Denden Town in Osaka. It's a lot more chilled out. You'll get a lot more time looking at the stuff you want to look at, and it's a lot of fun, so I recommend that.
But you've never been to a maid cafe?
No, I've never been to a maid cafe.
I'm probably going to go for a video soon.
Right.
I've thought about doing it as a video.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm the right person to be in a maid cafe.
Okay.
I think I'm too grumpy and not enthusiastic enough to
get
have,
involved.
Like, a woman wait on me really weirdly and talk and
yeah. Yeah,
so the whole thing makes me feel a bit weird and uncomfortable.
But yeah, but again, it's the whole kind of, like, service culture. It's like the snack bar culture, it's the horse culture. There was a brilliant little sort of mini 5-minute documentary about the most woman who works in Roppongi, and she is the I think Japan's preeminent the greatest hostess who ever lived, and she makes so much money every night. She's very
Which
very
rich. We talked about that the host guy. What
yes.
was his name?
I don't know. He looked like David Bowie if he'd used like a treadmill and a bull walker. Lord,
a host. He made like $25,000-$50,000 a month.
Yeah.
By just chatting up women.
Creepy little chap.
It was a bit odd. Very odd. Still don't understand.
No,
that aspect of
it's all strange, isn't it? Very strange.
Yeah.
But yes, this one was making a lot of money every night, basically emptying men's wallets. But they interviewed a couple of punters and stuff, and they were sort of, saying the best hosts and I guess maids as well. They're not fake. It must be really hard to not go, there's a reason why you're talking to me, and it's because I've just put money on the table.
I mean, I've been to a lot of hostess bars in Yamagata, where I used to live, because in Japan, often in rural areas, you don't have standard normal bars.
Mm.
They are just snack bars.
Right.
You will have women sit there, talk to you, pour your drinks, light your cigarettes, whatever.
Mm.
And I used to go with friends quite a lot, like Nasco, I guess, and other friends. And, I always felt like it just felt very... It didn't feel real.
No.
You know, they talk to you, they pretend to be interested, but it all feels very superficial. They're like, wow, England, Sugoi, amazing. Wow, Harry Potter. And I just wheel off the same 5 or 6 lines. And I just got really bored.
Yeah.
And I never enjoyed it.
Oh, well.
But if you go to an upmarket one in Ginza, I think you'll find that level of service is far more impressive.
Mm.
I don't know. I've never been to one, actually.
No.
We should go.
Go to a nice upmarket snack bar.
Let's do it.
I can't have been waited on the best of times, to be honest. I just don't like the fuss. Jake. Good day, Pete and Chris. My name is Jake from Sydney, Australia. Your podcast is my saving grace for any time I'm forced to do any mundane and needed tasks to be alive in this day and age, such as cleaning and commuting to work. Well, I'm glad we are applying salve to that particular working wound. My partner, Jade, and I are planning a trip to Tokyo in November, where we'll be staying for 3 weeks. The plan is to use this as a hub and day trip to the various locations across the island. Whilst I'm ecstatic for the sights and the landmarks, I've always been fond of just existing in Japan, so to speak. Experiencing day-to-day things like going to the store, going out for coffee, along the train lines, I noticed there are quite a few stops, even on the Shinkansen, between destinations like Tokyo to Kyoto. My question is, what are the logistics slash worth to just stopping and getting off the train at a random location and exploring? Is it worth it, or will I leave myself open to disaster or getting drugged slash added to a cult, as it appears many have experienced before me? Keep the good work, fellas. Jake, I'd recommend that, definitely. Get off at a weird station, have a roll around, mate.
Between Tokyo and Kyoto, where can you stop? I suppose you went to Nagoya, which is right in the middle.
I went to Nagoya, yeah. I wanted to see where Arsene Wenger and Gary Lineker had plied their trades back in the day, and I ended up in a nightclub, it won't surprise you to learn, because it was a Saturday night, that was basically for the whole kind of South American diaspora. It was, or maybe just Brazilians. Just like Brazilians, maybe some Peruvians as well, in this club, and it was just all like South American music. It was really? It was really interesting.
Yeah, Japan and Brazil have quite an odd relationship. I'm not overly acquainted with the history, but I know in the early 20th century, a lot of Japanese workers went to Brazil.
Yeah,
and did some labour or some work there, and there seems to be, you know, Japanese Brazilian people.
Well, there's Brazil, there's also Peru had the first, like, it was a Japanese, not maybe Japanese born, but of Japanese descent, prime minister back in the day, who had an interesting life. I think he got chucked out for being corrupt. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the case. But he, that's quite interesting. But with the Brazil thing, I think because they've got a dwindling population in Japan, Abe has started, or one of his underlings has started, a scheme that if you are like fourth generation Japanese in Brazil, you can get a 5-year visa.
Oh, wow.
In Japan, and because it's just a 5-year visa, nobody took them up on like, the first 3 months. Nobody took them up on the offer because it's like, all right, can you do some like menial, you know, manual labour for us and just get a 5-year visa? It's bullshit.
Yeah.
They're very weird.
It's not very, very good.
You need to just
maybe
open up,
they
open
can
up, guys.
Lure the people, the Japanese people of Brazil. With Nagoya chicken wings.
I probably had some kind
every
of collection.
Every place in Japan
thing.
Has a famous dish, and Nagoya has chicken wings. You didn't try them.
I don't think I did, no.
It's the
I
only
can't,
thing
I
you need to do in Nagoya,
though.
And you didn't do it. I am disappointed.
I did see a beautiful little statue. You know, you got Hachiko outside the Shibuya Crossing,
yes.
Who is an inspirational
dog
figure to everyone. And save the Akita... dog, apparently, because they were in dwindling numbers, and obviously they're quite big dogs, and post-war Japan didn't really have that much, you know, space or money, and so it actually saved that dog, that kind of dog, because everyone wanted the Hachiko dog. Anyway,
what happened to all the other dogs?
Well, they still exist.
Other varieties of dog.
Never see a sausage dog in Japan. You rarely see a sausage dog.
I need
dog.
To conjure up a story about someone who died and had a sausage dog. And
yeah, exactly.
A fictional story to rejuvenate the population of sausage dogs in Japan.
There was a little it was a beautiful little dog statue that had three legs,
right.
And it was basically dedicated to the mangled, disabled animals, the disabled dogs of Nagoya. It was really fascinating, and it was just like, and people would start leaving rice and food next to it, which is really cool.
Oh, that's
it was
heartwarming.
Really, it really was heartwarming. I was like, oh, but yeah, poor dogs. Poor dogs with three legs. If you've got dogs with three legs, they are
that's
more
lovely,
adorable
though.
Than the normal dogs.
That's heartwarming.
Than the other dogs.
I realise we didn't really answer Jake's question.
Sorry.
My answer is you get off the train, have a look around, but actually a lot of Japanese towns are the same. I've travelled Japan from top to bottom extensively, and often a lot of towns don't have much sense of identity. They do have the same stores. There'll be a big Aeon shopping mall, there'll be a dozen 7-Elevens, there'll be a Shiakusho, a town centre, and a train station. A
couple of shrines.
Going back to the Nagoya chicken wings, if you find Japan, all across the country, each region has its very own dedicated dish, right? And I did a project years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, called Tohoku 365. I went around Tohoku region to each prefecture seeking out the local dishes. That's one of the more interesting ways of travelling around Japan. Rather than just getting off at a random station, try and look up the local dishes of Japan and go and search for them and go and find them. You know, each place has their own dishes. You know, like in Fukushima, you have really nice...
fucking chicken.
I don't know what I'm saying. Gyoza.
Right, okay,
gyoza,
okay,
in Fukushima. Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't get that out of my head.
It was the only thing that my mates would eat consistently on the holiday. They're not very... they don't explore their food options. They're just constantly ordering gyoza with their ramen, just loads of gyoza.
Yeah, I mean, Fukushima's got lovely gyoza and some nice tonkatsu, like breaded pork and things, and Yamagata's got a lot of great ramen.
Yamagata,
Aomori's got cider and fish and things. So each place has its own dedicated dishes. It's worth finding out in advance if you want to do a big trip around Japan.
But like you said, like they are quite samey, aren't they, the village and town?
Pretty much, yeah. But it's still worth trying.
There you go. Tom's Czech Republic. Do you want to do that one, Chris?
I do.
Ooh.
I do. I'm so excited. My voice broke. Or it could be the lack of coffee. Hello, Chris and Pete. I have a question to Chris. What is that? This is the third question.
I don't live there, do I?
I've noticed that you've been interviewed by Japan News and read that you shoot around 180 minutes per video, but you only use 15 minutes of it. Do you ever think it's wasted, or is it reasonable for the video to have perfect broad editing? I have a question for Pete as well. Woohoo! So he does not feel left out. When was the last time, Pete, that you ate koolish?
How many hours ago?
What flavour? And how was it? Look forward to the next podcast. Tom from Czech Republic.
Tom from Czech Republic. You don't eat koolish. Koolish eats you in many ways.
It's a terrifying...
It consumes you.
Terrifying image there.
Yeah, it's very...
I love I've got quite a well-thought-through question about videography, filmmaking.
Yeah,
and then it's just, do you like ice cream? When did you last have ice cream, Pete?
I didn't eat as much as you'd expect out there, but I did have a delicious kelpis flavour of koolish, which is interesting. There's not a day goes by that people don't send me pictures of koolish and CC you in as well.
My entire Twitter feed is it's you guys travelling around Japan eating koolish and taking selfies and tagging me and Pete, which I enjoy.
It's
quite fun.
I feel
a bit annoyed that we've basically given $1 billion worth of free marketing and publicity to koolish.
Why are they not getting
and
involved?
And not get anything in return.
How have they not noticed that we are brand that is constantly talking about koolish?
For bloody Nestle, who I've given trillions of dollars worth of marketing and free publicity to Kit Kats. I got? Nothing. Nothing from Nestle.
You should be...
Is anybody listening from Nestle, I hate you.
You should be in the pocket of Big Kit Kat by now. You should be...
Big Kit Kat.
Like Big Pharma. Like if you get big in the pockets of Big Pharma, like all the doctors in America. You're in the pocket of Big Pharma, baby. Give me my generics.
Going back to the question, though, for Journey Across Japan, we did film a stupid amount of footage, 180 minutes plus for each day. Because we had no script and no plan, we turned up, we filmed loads of stuff, and then I had to basically make a video out of it afterwards and carve a narrative.
Oh.
I don't enjoy doing that. And I'm trying to... Since Journey Across Japan, I've tried to shoot a lot less and have better quality footage and not have to put myself through that torturous editing process. But I never think it's a waste taking 180 minutes and converting it to 15 minutes. I just see it as quality control. And
You should give me like the hard drives and I'll do an alternative cut, the Doddleson cut.
I'd like to see that. Yeah, and you can put it on your new YouTube channel for your 1,400 subscribers.
It'll just be all of the footage of me and you when we were together and nothing else. Bit Natsuki.
I'd probably do quite well. Quite popular, to be honest. We've got one from Zach from New Jersey. He says, Chris, Pete, good afternoon. My name is Zach from New Jersey. My question is as follows. Chris's love for Lost in Translation is well known. Between both of you, if Pete would like to answer as well, what are some other favourite films of yours, either Japanese made or set in Japan, and what about them do you enjoy? Zach from New Jersey.
My favourite one's Tan Popo. It's not really.
You stole that from me.
Stole that from you.
You cheeky devil.
You always mention Tan Popo.
I do. Dandelion.
It's a lovely word to say.
Such a good film. Easily my favourite Japanese film. I won't talk about it today because I've talked about it in every other podcast, but it's got Ken Watanabe in. It's about a ramen shop. It's a ramen western. It's got a bit of a satire on spaghetti western with Clint Eastwood. Noodle ramen western. Amazing film. Tan Popo, watch it. It's bizarre, it's crazy, it's witty, it's funny. I love it.
Yeah.
Three films off the top of my head. Departures, which I've talked about before. Okurobito, as it's known in Japanese. Departures won an Academy Award for Best Foreign Film in 2008. And I actually watched it before I moved to Japan, a few years before I applied to work in Japan. And when I arrived in Yamagata, in the town of Sakata, where I was placed for 3 years. I found that Departures was actually filmed there. And I remember, like, my first week in Sakata, I was walking down the street, and I went, wait a minute, I recognise this street, because there was a really old, weird building there, a really creepy-looking building. And I looked up Departures, and I realised the film was set there. And it's an incredible bit of good luck that one of my favourite Japanese films was filmed in this backwater little town that no-one's ever heard of. But a lovely film, really heartwarming. It's about a guy who gets fired or loses his job in Tokyo, moves back to rural Yamagata and takes up a job working in... In coffining, I think.
Mm.
Basically, when someone dies in Japan, they do a little ceremony, a little kind of Shinto Buddhist ceremony, and he starts doing that for a living. And it's a bit of a taboo, though. People in Japan, I think there's a bit of a taboo around death and funerals, and so he's looked down upon by the locals. It's a really great film. Highly recommend it. Tokyo Sonata. Sonata is another good film. It's about a family where everything goes wrong, and I don't really know how to explain it, but Tokyo Sonata, that's a great film. The father of a family loses his job and has to pretend that he's got a job and goes around pretending he's got a job when he doesn't, and they all come together somehow because the son in the family learns the piano and... Yeah, right, I can't explain it in a better way. It's a really odd film. And then there's another film I watched recently called Like Someone in Love by an Iranian director whose name I cannot recall. It's a very unconventional film. It's kind of feels a bit like a French New Wave style film where narrative structure is just thrown out the window, because the entire film is effectively a build-up. And then the bit of the film where something's supposed to happen, it ends just about 30 seconds before. And you sort of sit there and you went... I remember watching it and think, wait, what just happened? It's quite interesting. It's quite an impressive film. I think it's not for everyone, but it's definitely worth a shot. If you're into film and you like watching things a little bit unconventional, a little bit weird, Like Someone in Love. Those are my three films. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, anything on the... I'm a big fan of this guy called Adam, who runs Third Window Films.
Adam.
Just Adam. He's surprised with DVDs every now and again. Yeah, he runs Third Window Films, which basically finds the more interesting films in Japan and gets them released to an American and UK audience on like Amazon and Netflix and stuff like that. But Low Life Love's really good. Fukuchana Fukufuku Flats, I've said that before. Really funny film. Drift in Tokyo. Just basically go to Third Window's website, and it really is a fine collection. It's the sort of comedy that you wouldn't expect the Japanese would be into. A lot of the stuff you see on telly is very slapstick and silly, and but this is a little bit more creative, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
A few films keep busy. We'll have to keep watching more. I actually don't watch as many Japanese films as I should or I'd like to. I need to dive in. Japanese cinema isn't what it once was. I don't know why that is. I think in the 90s, when the Japanese economy went down the pan, when the bubble burst, I think they dedicated less resources and money to the arts.
And also,
cinema has suffered a little bit as a result. But, you know, there's still some incredible films
coming
out.
Like directors like Tarantino and stuff, like, we're big fans of all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Like Kurosawa stuff, and he's obviously, you know, not gone off the boil, but he's kind of disappeared a little bit, and he's not doing that style anymore, so maybe people aren't quite as interested.
Potentially, yeah. We need Tarantino to promote Japan.
Indeed.
Bring him back.
All right, then.
We've got one here, story from Austin.
Okay.
He's going to read this.
I'll do the first bit, you can do the second bit.
Take me back to my days at school, doing English. Used to read out a play. Yeah. Go on, then.
Hi, Chris and Pete. This is Austin from America. I'm an ALT.
Assistant language teacher.
Yes, and I often listen to your podcast in the office at my school in Yamagata Prefecture.
Whoa.
I want to preface my story by saying that I'm not the philanderer in this story, so please no prejudgments. A little more than a month back, I went to Fukushima City for the first time, and to my surprise, they were having a festival that day. A friend and I headed into a tent to try out some of the local beers, and we were approached by a woman about our age. I cannot confirm this, however, because she changed her age every time I asked her. She didn't speak in English, but she gave us some horse meat for free, so we figured we would chat with her the best we could. Not long into the conversation, she began rapidly ordering more beers for both of us, and we couldn't rightly refuse, mostly because she wouldn't take no for an answer, and alcohol is the social lubricant that made the whole situation less strange to us. Chris, take over.
After about an hour, my friend left to use the restroom, and the woman took that as an opportunity to come on to me, very directly asking me to kiss her in public multiple times, to which I replied, I don't even know you. After my friend came back, I went to use the restroom. My friend found out from the woman that she was married and had a 5-year-old child. We quickly hightailed it out of there. It was easily one of the more surprising experiences I've had so far in Japan. But I was wondering if either of you two have ever found yourself in a situation like this in Japan, or if it is common. Thank you, Austin. No, Austin, it is not common. That's a really weird situation.
Yeah. You've clearly got a very kissable face, Austin.
You must be a good-looking
young man. People just wants to kiss you.
I like the fact she's just kept changing her age. How old are you, 31? How old are you, 37? Yeah. How old are you, 29?
There's a really drunk bartender in Korea. She was pissed, and I was pissed.
There's a really drunk bartender
and
in Korea.
She sort of leaned over and went, give us a kiss then. And I was like... A, no, and B, I'm separated by a bar here. Like, so weird. And we left. Because I'm scared of girls.
Another riveting story.
Yep.
No, things like this are pretty rare. I have never had... I find, if anything, Japanese girls are the opposite of very forthcoming. And, you know, they're a lot more reserved. Even when drunk, they're pretty good about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This sounds like a story of something that would happen in the UK, though.
I'm enjoying it, Austin. I'm loving it.
But well done,
your sordid, filthy
little
tales.
Give yourself a high five and a pat on the back, because never happened to me. Keep the stories, questions, comments, everything coming to RawinJapanPodcast@gmail.com. Guys, we'll be back same time next week on Wednesday to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening to the Rawin Japan Podcast, and we'll see you next week. Have yourself a great few days.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.